morning, everyone. Welcome to Commissioners Court meeting, October 8, 2012. I'll begin. Is there any public comments on item number one, request for information on non-agenda items? All right, move on to item number two, consider and possibly approve minutes from our September 24th special meeting of the court.
Good. Review those minutes without corrections or amendments. I ask that they be approved as written.
All right, thank you. April's motion by Commissioner Boggs, second by Commissioner Hockaday. All those in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item number three, status report on Titus County pass-through projects. I'll start with environmental issues. FM 1000, TxDOT Environmental, and the Historical Commission have concurred with the recommendation that construction may proceed through the archaeological sites on FM 1000. None of these sites are eligible for listing either as a state archaeological landmark or the National Register of Historic Places. Tribal consultation is expected to be completed mid-October 2012. Over to US 271, USACE, what does that stand for? USACE has provided approval for temporary impacts to Wetland 2 per the plan submitted by Williams Brothers. Anybody smarter than me that knows what USACE? Mike, come on. Well, they must be important. Provided approval for temporary impacts to Wetland 2 per the plan submitted. FAA obstruction evaluations have been filed for an additional 6 cranes for completions of County Road 2040 and Southeast 48 overpasses with a start date of November 15th. This will bring the total number of cranes working on these bridges to 6 for County Road 2040 and 4 for Southeast 48. Apex Geoscience will be conducting the third round of sampling at the former auto salvage site sometime between October 22 and 31. In regards to the underground storage tanks that were found. Design phase on FM 1000 engineering plans for FM 1000 have received district comments, and at this time revisions are being made by the engineers. The plans that have received comments from the district were submitted to the district office back at the beginning of September. Once the revisions are made and received in the Pate office, we will forward corrected plans to Austin for review. Austin has stated that with the allotted time they need to review, that if we can get the corrections to them by the middle of this week, we should be able to have a mid-December letting date. Mid-December. Pate staff is pushing the engineers as hard as possible to get the corrections in as quickly as possible to allow for letting in this fiscal year, or this calendar year, rather. Contract administration. Pates received the request from Sheila Mills, who is the North Right-of-Way Project Delivery Manager, Texas Department of Transportation, for the documentation request regarding the right-of-way acquisition acquired during 2012. The report asks for the breakdown of the number of parcels acquired by negotiation and total compensation, as well as the number of parcels acquired by condemnation and total compensation, and the number of parcels acquired by administrative settlement and the total compensation. All this documentation was prepared by Pate staff and submitted to Judge Lee on October 5th to be submitted to TxDOT by the deadline date of the 15th. On US 271, the following contractors are on the project at this time: Williams Brothers, TJ Lambrick, CF Southwest, North Texas Contracting, Interstate Barricade and Markings, RK Hall, Texas Traffic Systems, and Indus Construction. All these subcontractors' insurances are up to date. All certified payrolls have been received. We have the DBE report for the month of August, and no payments have been reported. Williams Brothers has been paid through August 25th, and a copy of the estimate has been forwarded to TxDOT. Pate received for the September pay estimate is currently being reviewed and processed. Per the last pay estimate, project is 46 complete. complete. That's Highway 271. Over to FM 2348, the following contractors are on the project at this time: H.H. Howard, J.W. Payne, C.F. Southwest, and M&D Foundation. All subcontractors' insurances are up to date, and all certified payrolls have been received through the end of September 2012. We've received the DBE report for the month of August. No payments have been reported. Howard has been paid through August 25th, and a copy of the estimate's been forwarded to TxDOT. The September pay estimate's been received by Payton, currently being reviewed. At this time, the project's 24% complete. Regarding construction on US 271, 236 days charged of the 663 allotted. Williams Brothers continues working on retaining walls between County Road 2040 and 4530. Bridge construction well underway at FM 1000 and the 2040 overpass. Columns and caps are complete at FM 1000, and the crews are working on drill shafts, columns, and caps at 2040. Cement stabilized base in preparation for concrete paving has been in place on all of the main lanes and most of the frontage roads between 2040 and 127. With the approval of change order number 2 and execution by all parties, including FHWA, as well as TxDOT, work will soon begin on the retaining walls at Wetlands number 10. And that's an agenda item. That's the Preferred Pond area. TJ Lambrick, our dirt contractor, has completed approximately 90% of the embankment on the project to date. Excavation stands at about 80%, with only the remaining excavation to be performed on the very north end of the project between 67 and I-30. Lambrick has completed the embankments for 4530 overpass. We'll begin placing lime on the south header this week. The northbound frontage road from the end of the project to County Road 2040 is cut to grade and will be receiving lime stabilization beginning in the next 2 weeks. The removal of asphalt on 271 will begin very soon. This will allow Lambrick to complete the south side of 2040 embankment, as well as drainage improvements that will run along the new southbound main lanes of 271. Work on the north end of the project between 67 and I-30 is scheduled to begin in the next 30 to 45 days. Okay, this is the important stuff, I think. That will require northbound and southbound traffic on Business 271 to share the existing northbound lanes for the first phase of construction, while new paving is constructed to replace the old southbound lanes. This first phase of the construction will also require the closing of US 67 at 271. Westbound traffic on 67 will have to detour to Interstate 30 westbound and then back to US 67. Eastbound access across 271 will be closed. Traffic will wanting to go east on 67 will have to access it from southbound 271. The second phase of this construction will move traffic to the existing southbound land so that new pavement can be constructed to replace the old northbound. Once complete, there will be new signalized intersections at Interstate 30 and 271, also at 49, 271, and 67. So we'll start seeing some road closures up there around the old Western Sizzlin' and the Shell Station and the Executive Inn. Signal construction has begun at the intersection of 30 and 271. This intersection, currently controlled by stop signs for east and westbound traffic on the frontage roads only, will soon see new signals going up that will include control of traffic north and southbound on 271. So right there between to Senoritas and El Chico, you've seen the new poles going up. Those will be traffic lights here very soon. 271 utilities. The relocations are almost complete. Major exceptions are the overhead transmission crossing at Station 161, just south of the Blackland Railroad. Relocation is expected in December, and to be completed approximately 2 weeks once work begins. 271 change orders. Currently, we have 4 change orders being worked on for the project. At this time, change order number 1 for additional work on the installation of GeoGrid due to unstable soils encountered at soil strengthening zones in the amount of $7,023 was approved and executed. Number 2, which we'll talk about here a little bit later as an agenda item, is a $339,000 change order having to do with placement of a retaining wall in the wetland number 10 area on the Preford property. Mike will address that, give a little more detail. Change order number 3, Williams has executed in the amount of $18,900 for services required to revise the work at the roadside spring area, station 252, to provide slope protection and removal of the roadway under drain system due to it not being required. Change order number 4, Williams Rudders has executed this in the amount of $44,400 for a revision and addition of pay items for traffic signal work throughout the project. At this time, change order number 4 is time sensitive because of the equipment that, or the supplies that would be bought as part of that are going to have a 60-day lead time, so we rushed that one. There were discussions of possible change orders for electronic message boards. And this, and I don't know if any, all of y'all have talked or any of you have talked to Mark Heidecker, but this is something that we do want to consider and make the right choice. There were discussions of possible change orders for electronic message boards for the project for notification of future road closures. And these are similar to what the fire station or the police department uses. How many of those do you have, Mike? One? And its approximate size is what? 4x6. And I think these are significantly larger than that. They're about $19,000 a piece. Pate staff has worked with the area office and decided that in lieu of spending approximately $44,000 for 2 message boards, that all road closures will be given a 7-day notice to TxDOT and announced in Commissioner's Court, plus placed in the local newspaper. I think we still have some say-so on that decision, but our first conversation had to do with whether we were going to lease those 2 signs. The lease amounted to about the same price as buying them outright, and I suggested to Pate that they just buy those signs. We would own them at the end. The insurance on those, according to CAPS, was only a couple of $100 to insure those signs, and we would have 2 nice signs at the end rather than returning rented property. But we are not required to do this. This is a recommendation coming from area TxDOT, and so therefore we're not required to do it, but I want you all to consider whether 2 message boards that would be moved around from location to location would better serve the community than simply putting notices in the newspaper. There's no doubt that the message boards would do a better job, but is it worth spending $44,000 to do that? FM 2348, construction duration of 383 days total, and we're 118 days into it through October 8th. Howard & Sons has completed the drainage structures and the base materials in place on the portion of the new 2348 from Highway 49 to about 1,500 feet past First Street. Howard is approaching the completion of construction of the south embankment for the railroad bridge as well. Drill shafts have been placed for the interior vents of the structure, and the column construction is expected to begin in the next few weeks. J.W. Payne, a subcontractor, has almost completed work on the large cast-in-place box culvert just south of First Street. Howard is preparing to begin operations at the 67 and 2348 intersection in the next few weeks. Construction at this location will begin with the installation of new storm sewer systems, followed by new paving on a portion of 67. Work will progress south from there on the new 2348 alignment toward the railroad bridge. Howard will begin building the header bank on the north side of the railroad at the same time. Any comments or questions about that?
One question is, who gathered the information on the lease of those sidings?
The subcontractor provided that to Mark Heidecker. We've talked several times about that. Could it be leased for less? I don't know the answer to that. I'm assuming that these guys know where to get that particular type of equipment from time to time when it's needed, and I'm assuming they know who's got the best prices on those. But I think it was a 32-week lease was right at $18,500, and the price was about $18,500 to buy it. And they told us that, up front, here's your options. And it's as inexpensive as the insurance is to completely cover those through our existing policy. Of course, there would be a deductible in place. You could end up, assuming those signs didn't get beat up and damaged, you'd have two very nice signs that could be used for any kind of event.
But just this summer, I could have used something more appropriate than what I had in those roads.
It's something to consider.
Well,
obviously, renting would be my least favorite option on there. I am torn between spending $44,000, but also at the same time, we know that not everyone is going to be aware of road closures and what to do about it just from reading the newspaper. Some will rely heavily on such signage, and so maybe it's, in view of the total size of the project, $44,000 may be a good service we can provide. All right. Anything else? Surely they'd be worth half what you paid for them or something close. Well, we can discuss that, and if you'll let me know what your thoughts are, we can, again, we're not required to do this. This is what TxDOT is recommending. Item number four, we were going to discuss this issue, and we've got some, we need to find out some more information before we approve or disapprove this, but Jill Tucker, Brian Clayton with our juvenile probation department for many years has not been on our county health insurance. And were they at one time years ago, Commissioner? Is that what you told me? Okay. And it's some opinions say that they're not technically a county employee and therefore are not eligible. We're waiting on some more final decision from our insurance company. So I'm going to move that we table that item. Second by Commissioner Fields, and those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Item number five, consider and possibly approve payments for filings necessary with the Texas State Historical Cemetery designation for the Evergreen Cemetery, and those are for filing fees with the county clerk. Steve, would you like to tell us some more about this historical designation that you would like to see us get for the Evergreen Cemetery?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Most of you know that we were made aware of the status of Evergreen Cemetery early last year and that it was in danger of being lost and overrun on the Estrella Ranch. Through the efforts from the commissioners and the county sheriff made contact with Mr. Estrella, and he released his hands to reclaim the area of the cemetery. It's northwest corner of the county. And in doing some research, we find that it's actually the first Freedman's colony that we had here in Titus County.
First what?
Freedman's. It's a black cemetery that was initiated, and when the at the end of the Civil War, when the Emancipation Proclamation, of course, came out, and all area slaves were released, and this was one of the first colonies where they congregated and established a colony, and this cemetery is reflective of that. Again, we were in danger of losing it, but efforts have been made not only by this Estrella Ranch, but the county as well. It's been cleaned. We've had the assistance of the community and families, heirs of those interred there. There was only one commercial stone that was present in the cemetery, Moses Price. And we intend to include that with, again, all the paperwork and stuff has been done for acquiring the Texas Historical Cemetery designation. And it's been approved. All we have to do is file with the county clerk and return that filing to the State of Texas Historical Commission. And we intend to include that in the proposed ceremony for the Civil War Monument dedication, the 100th anniversary, on November 2nd, to recognize both simultaneously. I think it is deserving of the community and reflects good on both the citizens and the community for taking both actions at the same time. The filing fees, as I understand it, would be about $22. I think the Commissioner's Court has several options, either approve the request or approve the allocation from what limited funds the Historical Commission itself might be able to request, in addition to either deny or waive the filing fees altogether, which is, of course, up to the court.
I appreciate the work you all have done on this. This sounds like an easy decision to me.
But John Schaefer, in fact, did a lot of the legwork in acquiring the information, going through the files and ascertaining the deeds and doing the landmark and submission of facts to the Historical Commission.
Judge, I make a motion.
By Commissioner Hinton, second by Commissioner Boggs. All those in favor of paying these filing fees to complete this process, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Steve, while I've got you here, let's move on here to item number seven. I'm sorry, item number six. Consider and possibly approve a request from the Historical Commission to conduct a public ceremony to honor the 100th anniversary of the dedication of the Civil War Monument and recognition of the Texas Historical Cemetery designation for the Evergreen Cemetery.
Correct. I propose that we combine those activities, and at this time we would just be, as far as the Confederate statue is concerned, we'd just be acknowledging the actual dedication of the monument 100 years prior, on or about November 2nd, 1912. That was in pursuit of the Civil War reunion, soldiers reunion that was conducted here in Mount Pleasant, and gained quite a bit of notoriety for the time. A lot of people remember stories that we actually had a streetcar, a small internal city railway system that ran from the old hotel to the courthouse square and back. It was one of the reasons why you have a converging street on the other side of the railroad track to make the loop on the rail. But the streetcar itself, because of the number of crowd, was instead of carrying 25 or 30, was carrying 50 and 60 people at a time, so it didn't take long to burn the motor up, and they had to go back to horse-drawn. But that's one of the anecdotes of the time. Again, it brings note to the historical significance of not only the monument itself, but the citizenry of Titus County, Delwood Park. A lot of people don't know all the history that Delwood Park has, but it's quite intense and very full. Again, we will be proposing to combine both the 100th year recognition of the dedication and the state historical designation of the Evergreen Cemetery simultaneously and address both. We have requested, and they have agreed to participate, which is the Upshur County Patriots. It's a costume group of reenactors who will provide color guard activity and rifle salute I visited with the sheriff's department and the chief of police, which in turn said if it's okay with the judge, and it's we filed with the city for a special event approval. As long as we caution the reenactors to light load the black powder rifle so that we don't set off too many car alarms and burglar systems, and make sure that on that day that we notify the law enforcement groups again of what exactly is going on, so that when the three volley salute is given, that that they know where all the phone calls are coming from and what they're about. I think it's going to be a pleasant event, a joyful event. And again, we're only recognizing the dedication, the 100th year dedication of the monument. The situation with the time capsule, we only have limited information, although it does seem to reflect that there is something metal, a container, in the vault area of the monument, which is the upper portion of the base, above the solid tiers. If you look at the bottom of the monument itself, on one side there are cross swords, which could be reflective of X marks the spot. But if you look at those stones, you can see that they've been chipped and moved around. And so that does seem to relay that there might be something contained in that vault area. The seismographic, the metal detecting equipment that was used, the operator who has a lot of experience, says it appears to be a metal object, possibly a cylinder, and it appears to be laying diagonally, corner to corner. And that comes from his experience with trying to gauge the response of his equipment to what's being detected. He does have access to other individuals in his group to do this without charge, to be able to come down and tell us what more specifically might be contained therein. If that's something that we're still coordinating, maybe we could get to actually take place on that day. But the commission is not proposing, and we are hesitant to do much archaeological retrieval at this point, because the condition of the statue itself doesn't lend itself to do a whole lot to it. Over the years, there has been some stabilization work. If you go out and inspect it, there's a number of rebar pieces being driven in places to try to hold the monument in place due to the vibrations from traffic and the settling over the years. And in our inspection, we note some additional cracks, not only on the bottom portion of the statue, but up on the statue itself, there appear to be some cracks appearing. And we certainly don't want to do anything that would jeopardize any damage it in any way. I think that's something, if it's been there 100 years, it'll last a little longer, if it is in fact there. We don't have any information that it's buried. Matter of fact, if it was, it would make it almost impossible to retrieve. But we are proposing that the time capsule at this time remain in place until we do have funds or technology to be able to retrieve it and ensure that our historical monument doesn't get damaged in the process. It is registered with the Smithsonian Institute. I believe its catalog number is 000728. It's something to be proud of. It's a portion of our history, and we intend nothing other than to celebrate the history of Titus County and its citizens by recognizing this 100th anniversary.
What's your date on that, Steve?
November 2. It's on a Friday, and we're proposing that the ceremony start at 11 at the stroke of the bell tower. I anticipate 30 to 45 minute ceremony, and that would include the color guard, rifle salute, two brief speakers, and the United Daughters of the Confederacy laying a wreath, and then closing the program.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you, Steve. All right. You've heard what the Historical Commission would like for us to do. Can we approve them having this public ceremony on November 2? Motion by Commissioner Henry. Second by Commissioner Boggs. We'll look forward to that here in about a month. Item number seven, consider and possibly approve change order. Oh, I didn't vote. All those in favor say aye. Thank you. Consider and possibly approve change order number two for additional work for the installation of a concrete pile, supported, cast-in-place retaining wall at Wetland 10. Mike, you're most knowledgeable about this. What are we doing here, and why do we need to do it?
Okay, this is basically having that area to make a lot of money, especially with the previous problem. I think back in the, let's say, 60s, maybe 70s,
like to get your approval then on that necessary yet expensive change order. Motion by Commissioner Fields, second by Commissioner Hockaday. In favor of change order number two, $338,948.91. Say aye. Thank you. All right, number eight, some more historical commission. Consider and possibly approve reappointments to the County Historical Commission for a term of 2 years. And Steve has provided us with lists of the current and proposed new members. We are removing from the list Sue Evenwell, Sue Hawkins, Paul Lindsay, and Steve Thompson. Those remaining on the committee, the commission, Steve Austin, Jacob Hatfield, O.C. Hill, Pam Hill, Jack Hooker, Diana Kennedy, Sharon Palmer, Janet Russell, John Schaefer, Michael Thompson, and Mary Turner. So we... Motion by Commissioner Hockaday to approve those that have been listed and are willing to serve again and to remove those four. And second by Commissioner Hinton. In favor, please say aye. All right, thank you. Item number nine, consider and possibly approve a resolution to change the time and place of our delinquent property tax sale. As you recall, we had approved a 10 a.m. Saturday, October 20th at the former Western Sizzlin', now the Hideout Restaurant. Unfortunately, there was a fire there that did a pretty good bit of damage to the roof structure, and it's not suitable for a place to be the location of that delinquent property sale. And Tim Taylor, who will be the one who helps us with this, is recommending that we move it to the Walnut Room at the Civic Center, same day, 1 hour earlier, 9 a.m. Saturday, October 20th. And we need a resolution in order to make that change. Motion by Commissioner Hockaday. Second by Commissioner Hinton. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And I'll need your signature under the voting aye. Item number 10. Consider and possibly approve employee policy manual. Here it is, Tim. To let you know what has been done on this document since we wrapped up our work, as you'll recall, we approved payment to John Boofy, an attorney that John Mark Coburn located for us. In fact, he knows Mr. Boofy and had spoken with him about this previously. He specializes in this, and just so you know, Mr. Boofy was very impressed with the document before he got a hold of it, and he made very few changes. Many were punctuation, a little bit of grammar, a little bit of spelling. I don't recall, as I went through it, any real significant changes that he made to it, but I have here in final form, and Carolyn has made those corrections that Mr. Boofy recommended be changed. We've given every department head an opportunity to look over this, so we have a completed document here. Now, I would like for us to consider maybe on a quarterly basis, in case things pop up and we need to revise this, and I don't know if we need to do it on a quarterly basis, but we've got a brand new document that, although it doesn't have any radical changes that I recall, there are some changes, and anytime you make changes to employee manual that affects possibly employees, you know, there may be some comments that come up from people that have not previously read this. Despite the fact we gave them that opportunity, I think that we should be aware that we may find something that we decide, you know, on second thought, let's make a change here. So we'll reserve the right to relook at this and make changes. At this time, I'm not sure that I'm going to print a bunch of these. I am going to email a copy to all department heads and let them print it out for their employees to go through. And maybe by the first of the year, we can make several printed and bound copies of this available, but maybe give them through the end of the year to make consideration for any adjustments. But a long time in coming. I'm proud of this document. I think it's a good document. It brings things up to date, and it's been blessed by Texas Association of Counties and Mr. Boofy, who is an employee employee law specialist. So, what would you like to do with this document?
You're talking about now, not adopting today.
No, I don't. I misworded that. Let's go ahead and formally adopt it today. If we find something that needs to be done, we can always come back and ratified changes to that document, but I think that it's time that we get functioning under a new and updated employee handbook, and I can't imagine that there's anything in here that is going to be a real problem. You may have something that an employee in a particular situation has a disagreement with, and that doesn't mean we'll make those changes, but nonetheless, if we find something that's glaring that we didn't intend to be there, and I don't think it's there, we can look at it again, but before I make a bunch of copies, I do want to just disseminate it by email and let each department print out however many copies that they would like. I'll recommend that they keep it to a minimum, and they can even make that available to their employees by email so that they can read it on their computers before we print print a bunch of these.
Right. I think it also might be something we'd want to do. When I first got a hold of the employee manual, it was last evaluated in 1996. And, you know, that's just not appropriate. I think we ought to reassess this document once a year in court, address any concerns that have been brought to us by employees, and sign off on it once a year so that we can say we have reassessed our employee manual annually and we're up to date. If we don't do that, then, you know, we leave ourselves open for, you haven't done this for 4 years. You know, I think it's good that we visit it once a year.
Yeah, and we'll make sure that the front has a date that it was approved, and we'll change that date each and every time that we do update that. I think that's a good idea. We'll just make a commitment to doing that at about this time of the year, each year. And I don't imagine that every employee is going to want a copy of this, but I will recommend that each department head have a bound copy and keep it even in a, you know, a three-ring binder.
My personal thing is that they should get a copy, and they need to give them time limit to read over it and do it, and sign a document that they have with it, and understand the process.
Would you be all right if I made electronic copies available to those employees, and then have a sign-off sheet that they is provided to their department head?
This is encouraging the employees to read the book. That way they know what to get you down and what to do.
Okay.
Judge, I'd like to say one thing. We spent quite a bit of time on this, redoing this thing, going through it. Tom spent a lot of time, and I appreciate the work done.
I make a motion that we approve the employee policy manual.
All right. Motion by Commissioner Boggs. Second by Commissioner Hockaday for approval of the Titus County Employee Handbook as of today. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you. Item number 11, consider and possibly approve travel and seminars. I had one submitted. It is not complete. I've asked for additional information and haven't gotten that additional information back. So I'm going to vote that we postpone that one request until I can get a little more information from the person that submitted that. Well, that's my motion. We table that. And there's only one that I have. Is that all you have? Second by Commissioner Hockaday to table this travel request. I think we've still got some time. We'll put it on the next agenda. This is for the end of November. I don't remember the 6th. Okay. Yeah, it's an excellent use of a day, and it's right here in our own town. And TAC comes and brings a good roster of speakers. All right. Item number 12, approve oral and written reports. We didn't vote on the tabling. Yeah, let's go ahead and vote on all those in favor of tabling the travel seminar request. Say aye. Item number 12, approve oral and written reports.
I
anybody that's wondering what we're discussing, we've got some health claims that apparently have been denied, some sizable claims for some unfortunate health situations. And fortunately, we do have a reinsurance company that backs us up so that these are not all out-of-pocket expenditures by the county. But nonetheless, we need to fight for every dollar that is ours, because that is reimbursement to the county that the county pays on behalf of our employees.
Judge, also, a lot of times they don't send correct information.
Motion by Commissioner Hinton for approval of our written reports. Second by Commissioner Fields. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Considering possibly approved treasurer's report. Second by Commissioner Hinton for approval. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Item 14, approved budget amendments.
Step one, Judge. This is number 24.
Last one. Just a reclassification. Between gas and oil and other expense, the adjustment's about $400. Need a motion. Motion by Commissioner Fields and second by Commissioner Hinton. In favor of this budget amendment item, say aye.
Aye.
Item 15, signed pay orders, approve payments. Motion by Commissioner Hockaday, second by Commissioner Hinton. All those in favor of approving payments, paying these bills, say aye.
Aye.
Item 16, closing comments, if any. I'll start on my right, Commissioner Boggs.
Just remind everybody that
again, that's at the Extension office, a change from the usual Civic Center.
Field Industrial.
It's 7 p.m., is that right? 7 p.m. at the Extension office on Industrial.
Be successful and anticipated to be the same way this year.
best of luck to you three gentlemen that are working that deal tonight. That was an anxious day for me, as I recall, and I pray for peace for you as you're standing up there at that podium. All right, I have nothing else. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.